Hey, everybody. This episode is brought to you by my friends at ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Secure your device, anonymize your online activity, protect your action online. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Help our show out by also helping yourself protect yourself. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, we go through a new story of parents fighting back against critical race theory, and also a story of what happened to one of our Turning Point USA students in Minnesota that is just going to make you so angry and so mad, but she has courage. And she was framed for a hate crime, eventually exonerated. It was all a hoax. They tried to destroy her life. It is time for adults who are the guardians of our country to make more noise, to get involved. This republic is slipping away from us, largely because of our education system. Please consider supporting us at charliekirk.com/support. Get behind our podcast here. If we have impacted your life favorably, please go to charliekirk.com/support and chip in whatever you can. Maybe you got some extra stimulus money. Maybe you have been really blessed the last year. Please consider supporting us at charliekirk.com/support. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
I can always tell when a story is important by how many people send me a story that are not involved in politics. You know, some of the friendships I care about the most are actually my non-political friendships, just because in politics, everything seems to be somewhat transactional. So the friends I have where I just talk about sports or Oregon Ducks football or Chicago Cubs baseball, when I used to actually watch Chicago Cubs baseball, I'm not currently watching baseball because Major League Baseball has decided to take a position that they want economic warfare against a sovereign state in our country, the state of Georgia. However, those are the friendships I actually care about the most. So when those people started to text me the same article, I started to take it seriously. Now, I read everything that is sent to us when you guys email us, freedom@charliekirk.com, and I read everything that my friends text me. But when three or four of my non-political friends send me the same thing, I say, okay, this must be something worth really reading and diving into. So Barry Weiss has a Substack. If you don't know what Substack is, it's kind of like a blog. You can subscribe to it and you can support them through somewhat of a Patreon model. And Barry Weiss used to work for the New York Times, and she left in a public, a public way where she basically called the New York Times intolerant, somewhat anti-Semitic, and exposed them for the not so subtle totalitarians that they've become. So Barry Weiss is now a freelance writer. I think she writes for the City Journal as well. We've covered her extensively here on this program. She's a small L liberal. She would probably be considered a 1970s or 1980s Democrat. However, I have no reason to believe that Barry Weiss does not love America, and she definitely loves free speech. She loves the Constitution. She loves the marketplace of ideas. And she has now become a conduit for many parents who are seeing their children be taught to hate the country to expose that. So Barry Weiss posted this a couple days ago where she said, quote, "You have to read this letter." And you've probably seen this story in the coming days where this father wrote an open letter to Brearley School. Now, if you do not know what Brearley School is, it's an all-girls school in New York City, located on the Upper East Side neighborhood, with approximately 50 to 60 students per grade and about 700 total students in the school. And so this was an open letter by a father who decided in remarkable terms to draw a line in the sand, to say what we have all been thinking, and quite honestly, to say what we've been saying on this program for a couple of years. Now, in some ways, they're a little bit late to the game because the indoctrination, the lack of critical thinking, the lack of responsible education, I'm afraid is past the point of no return in so many institutions. Now, I do not think the country is past the point of no return. I think there are many things that we can do and that we are doing that are going to change the trajectory of the nation. So I'm going to read this letter, and there's some parts I'm going to skim over, but I really want to read the whole thing if we're able to find the time to do it, because it's remarkable. Dear fellow Brearley parents, so remember, he's writing to parents, not teachers. He's writing to parents, not administrators. He's writing to parents of the ruling class. If you are a member of the ruling class, you want to send your daughter to Brearley. Quote, our family recently made the decision not to re-enroll our daughter at Brearley for the 2021-2022 school year. She has been at Brearley for 7 years, beginning in kindergarten. In short, we no longer believe that Brearley's administration and board of trustees have any of our children's best interests at heart. Moreover, we no longer have confidence that our daughter will receive the quality of education necessary to further her development into a critical, thinking, responsible, enlightened, and civic-minded adult. I couldn't have said it any better myself. I write to you as a fellow parent to share our reason for leaving the Brearley community, but also urge you to act before the damage to the school, to its community, and your own child's education is irreparable. Good for him. We need more parents to do this quickly and decisively. Quote, it cannot be stated strongly enough that Brearley's obsession with race must stop. America's obsession with race must stop. He continues by saying, it should be abundantly clear to any thinking parent that Brearley has completely lost its way. The administration and the Board of Trustees have displayed a cowardly and appalling lack of leadership by appeasing an anti-intellectual, illiberal mob and then allowing the school to be captured by the same mob. What follows are my own personal views of Brearley's anti-racism initiatives, but these are just a handful of the criticisms that I know other parents have expressed. So let me take a time out here. I don't know this father's political views. I don't. His name is Andrew Gutman. I don't know if he's a liberal. I don't know if he's a conservative. I don't know if he's a Trump supporter. I don't know if he voted for Joe Biden. But I do know that standing up against the institutional mob that is currently educating your child, where all your friends go to school, where all other parents are sending their kids, this takes courage. And for any other parent listening out there, it's time to make this type of noise at your child's school if this garbage is happening. I object to the view that I should be judged by the color of my skin. I cannot tolerate a school that not only judges my daughter by the color of her skin, but encourages and instructs her to prejudice others by theirs. By viewing every element of education, aspect of history, every facet of society through the lens of skin color and race, we are desecrating the legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., amen, and utterly violating the movement for which such civil rights leaders believed, fought, and died. I object to the charge of systemic racism in this country and at our school. Systemic racism, properly understood, is segregated schools and separate lunch counters. It is the interning of Japanese and the exterminating of Jews. Systemic racism is unequivocally not a small number of isolated incidents over a period of decades. Ask any girl of any race if they've experienced insult from friends. Have they ever felt slighted by teachers or have suffered occasional injustice from a school at which they've spent up to 13 years of their life? And you're bound to hear grievances, some petty, some not. We have not had systemic racism against blacks in this country since the civil rights reforms of the 1960s, a period of more than 50 years. To state otherwise is a flat-out misrepresentation of our country's history and adds no understanding to any today's societal issues. If anything, long-standing and widespread policies such as affirmative action point in precisely the opposite direction. Let me just take a pause here. This father is a hero. I know I said that before. But to say that blacks have not experienced systemic racism since the 1960s is standing up to the ruling class, to the virtue signaling mob that is all signaling and no virtue and saying no more. He continues by saying, I object to a definition of systemic racism apparently supported by Brearley, that any educational, professional, or societal outcome where blacks are underrepresented is prima facie evidence of the aforementioned systemic racism or of white supremacy and oppression. Facile and unsupported beliefs such as these are the polar opposite to the intellectual and scientific truth for which Brearley claims to stand. Furthermore, I call BS, he used a more graphic word, on Brearley's oft-stated assertion that the school welcomes and encourages the truly difficult and uncomfortable conversations regarding race and the roots of racial discrepancies. We're going to continue in this letter, but I want you to think and mull over, what if every parent in America did this? What if every parent in America decided to stand up against the people that are teaching your child to hate themselves and hate America?
Look, for many of you that watch our live stream or our radio show, listen to our radio show, you know I talk about Relief Factor a lot. And look, truth is, I know millions of people are in some kind of pain, maybe from exercise or just getting older, that can do it. That's why I'm so impressed with Pete and Seth Talbot. They are on a mission. You rarely seen this kind of focus and commitment. Seriously, they recently shared with me that they are doubling down and want to literally double their number of total happy customers in the next year, and I believe they'll do it. So here's the deal. If you're struggling with back, neck, shoulder, hip, or knee pain, or even general muscle aches and pain, then I'm suggesting you order their three-week quick start, still discounted, only $19.95, about a dollar a day to see if we can get you out of pain. So go to ReliefFactor.com. That's ReliefFactor.com. The Talbots are amazing people. Check it out, ReliefFactor.com.
We were doing our Young Latino Leadership Summit this last weekend. I had so many young students come up to the microphone. They said, Charlie, why is it when we get persecuted as high school leaders, when we start these Turning Point USA groups as young conservatives, why do the adults in our community, why are they so silent? And this is a new fixation of mine. I mentioned this on Maria Bartiromo on Fox News with the great Candace Owens. Candace, who worked with us at Turning Point USA for a couple years and does a terrific job. Why is it that parents are so quiet? I'd love your thoughts on that, and happy for you guys to email me, freedom@charliekirk.com. I'm so curious why parents have put up with this garbage for so many years. But instead of focusing on the negative, I want to elevate the positive and finish this incredible letter. This father from Brearley says, quote, I object to the idea that blacks are unable to succeed in this country without aid from government or from whites. Brearley, by adopting critical race theory, those are the three words, good for you, is advocating the abhorrent viewpoint that blacks should forever be regarded as helpless victims that are incapable of success regardless of their skills, talents, or hard work. What Brearley is teaching our children is precisely the true and correct definition of racism. My goodness, good for you. I object to the mandatory anti-racism training for parents, especially when presented by the rent-seeking charlatans of Pollyanna. All right, let me just take a pause here. So the reason this whole thing happened is that at Brearley College in New York, they were mandating that the parents go through anti-racism training. That in order to have the right and the privilege to send your child to Brearley, you must go through anti-racism training. These sessions, in both their content and delivery, are so sophomoric and simplistic, so unsophisticated and inane, that I would be embarrassed if they were taught to Brearley kindergartners. They're an insult to the parents and unbecoming of any educational institution, let alone one of Brearley's caliber. So again, if you're a parent that wants to go pay $54,000 a year to send your daughter to Brearley, you must be indoctrinated too. It's not enough to indoctrinate the children. You must also indoctrinate the parents. I object to Brearley's vacuous, inappropriate, and fanatical use of words such as equity, diversity, and inclusiveness. If Brearley's administration was truly concerned about the so-called equity, you'd be discussing the cessation of administrations and admissions, preferences for legacy siblings, and those families with especially deep pockets. If the administration was genuinely so serious about diversity, they would not insist on the indoctrination of its students and their families to a single mindset more reminiscent of the Chinese Cultural Revolution. Instead, the school would foster an environment of intellectual openness and freedom of thought. And if Brearley really cared about inclusiveness, the school would return to the concepts encapsulated in the motto, One Brearley. Instead of teaching the extraordinary divisive idea that there are only one, there's only and always two groups in this country, victims and oppressors. Has this guy been listening to the Charlie Kirk Show? I'm kidding, of course. I object to the Brearley advocacy for groups and movements such as Black Lives Matter, a Marxist, anti-family, heterophobic, anti-Asian, anti-Semitic organization that neither speaks out for the majority of the black community in this country, nor in any way, shape, or form represents their best interests. I object, as we have been told time and time again over the past year, that the school's first priority is the safety of our children. For goodness sakes, Brearley is a school, not a hospital. The number one priority of a school has always been and will always be education. Brearley's misguided priorities exemplify both the safety culture and the CYA culture that together have proved so toxic to our society and have so damaged the mental health and resiliency of two generations of children and counting. He continues through this and says, I object to the gutting of history and civics and classical literature. I object to the erosion of rigor in classwork and the escalation of grade inflation. We have today in our country, from both political parties and at all levels of government, the most unwise and unvirtuous leaders in our nation's history. Schools like Brearley are supposed to be the training grounds for those leaders. Our nation will not survive a generation of leadership with even more poorly educated than we have now, nor will we survive a generation of students taught to hate its own country and despise its history. Andrew Guttman, and there's a couple of pieces I want to touch on here. He's trying to tell the other parents, stand by me and fight with me. I don't know how many will. Again, this is a very liberal part of the world, New York City. This is a part of the world where you do not challenge the well-accepted left-wing orthodoxy. That the New York Times is, it's read more than the Bible in New York time, in New York City. So now you have a parent that's starting to stand up against this. And so why is it that this sort of culture is so unbelievably dangerous? What is this soft totalitarianism? It's an attempt to try and not just stop your speech, but stop your thoughts and stop your identity and force you to conform. What he is articulating here is an effective resistance doctrine. That if we are going to resist against this totalitarian impulse that our country is entertaining, then we must do so publicly and sign our names to those letters and say, you are not going to teach my children to hate our country and hate themselves.
A few decades ago, private citizens used to be that. Private citizens. What's changed? The internet. Think about everything you've browsed, searched for, watched, or tweeted. Now imagine all of that data being crawled through, collected, and aggregated by third parties into a permanent public record. Your record. Having your life exposed for others to see was once something only celebrities worried about. But in an era where everyone is online, everyone is a public figure. To keep my data private when I go online, I always turn on ExpressVPN. Did you know that there are hundreds of data brokers out there whose sole business is to buy and sell your data? The worst part is they don't have to tell you who they're selling it to or get your consent. One of the data points is your IP address. Data harvesters use your IP address to uniquely identify you and your location. But with ExpressVPN, my connection gets rerouted through an encrypted server, and my IP address is masked. Every time I turn on ExpressVPN, I'm given a random IP address shared by other ExpressVPN customers. That makes it more difficult for third parties to identify me and harvest my data. And the best part is how ExpressVPN, how easy it is to use. No matter what device you're on, phone or laptop, maybe a smart TV. So if you're like me and you believe that your data is your business, go to expressvpn.com/Charlie and get 3 extra months free. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Go to expressvpn.com/Charlie.
So why am I so passionate about this letter from this parent who's finally standing up for what is right? Because I have seen what has happened for the last couple of years of parents doing nothing. Let me tell you a story that has broken the last week and a half of Avery Severson from Minnesota. She's a Minnesota high school student, and she wanted to start a Turning Point USA chapter. She said that she was inspired by a video of mine and attempted to start a TPUSA group at her school. I'm reading from the FoxNews.com article. Over the past year, Severson has been trying to get together a group of students to join her club. The school told her that the guidelines were that 20 students were needed to start the club, and she got all of the necessary requirements. But then all of a sudden, she was accused of sending out racist text messages and social media messages to other students. She didn't do such thing. You talk to her for 20 seconds, you can tell. She's a very sweet young girl. But the moment that she started to want to organize a Turning Point USA group, she gets accused of sending out these awful racist text messages. And so then the FBI got involved. That's right. The FBI got involved at White Bear Lake High School in Minnesota. The FBI investigated, and it turned out that it was a hoax. That's right, a hoax. It was made up. It was fake. The superintendent of the school said, quote, "The initial investigation by the FBI and our local police department and the school district uncovered that the social media posts were not what they appeared. The original messages were found to be a hoax sent under false pretenses by an Instagram account that was created by a student. The individual who created the social media post poses no threat to our students of color." So she made it all up. Or he, whomever did this. And of course, they're not going to say who it is. So this was probably a BLM incorporated activist that was staging this as a complete and total false flag operation to destroy a Turning Point USA chapter leader, Avery Severson. At White Bear Lake High School, they did walkouts. They did massive teacher protests. The students skipped school for these walkouts. And most adults were silent. At White Bear Lake High School near St. Paul, Minnesota. Most adults sat idly by while this young girl, Avery Severson, was smeared and slandered. They got the FBI involved to exonerate her. And of course she was exonerated, and we will actually never find out who staged this. Similar where Jussie Smollett will never be held accountable for faking a hate crime, or Bubba Wallace, who called in the FBI when he found a piece of rope on his garage door. And so Avery's doing quite well, and we are going to help support her to get her Turning Point USA chapter up and running, and I hope she's at our Young Women's Leadership Summit, which is coming up in Dallas in June, which I encourage you to get to and go to. But I'm wrestling with this, and I can't figure out why parents and adults who are supposed to be the guardians of our country, who are supposed to be the protectors to pass down this gift to the next generation, are putting up with this. Well, thankfully, Andrew Guttman from Brearley, he is leading the charge and saying no more. Andrew Guttman is a parent who sent his daughter to an all-girls school, $54,000 a year tuition, Brearley in the Upper East Side of Manhattan, where he was being required as a parent to take anti-racism training. That's right, required as a parent. He finishes his letter by saying, "Lastly, I object with a strong sentiment as possible that Brearley has begun to teach what to think instead of how to think. I object that the school is now fostering an environment where our daughters and our daughters' teachers are afraid to speak their minds in class for fear of, quote, consequences." Let me just pause there. This is not just happening at Brearley. This is happening at almost every major school across the country. We are dealing with this, and I want to say hello to all of our friends right now that are driving in the car or working at home on AM 560 The Answer at Loyola Academy. I went to school at Wheeling High School right down the street. I know Loyola very well. It's an upper middle class school where very wealthy parents send their kids. And every student was required to be taught anti-racism training, teaching every white kid in the school that they're actually racist. An incredibly bigoted thing to teach children. Now, thankfully, we were part of the movement. All of you listening on our podcast right now, if you contacted Loyola, you were part of that. That curriculum has been changed at Loyola Academy. Andrew Guttman continues by saying, "I object that Brearley is trying to usurp the role of parents in teaching morality and bullying parents to adopt that false morality at home." Let me pause there. Every totalitarian state that has ever existed seeks to disconnect and erode the bond between a parent and their child. Instead, they want the state to become the parent. Mao did this in the Cultural Revolution, the Chinese Cultural Revolution. He created the Red Guard, which were mostly young people, and they were indoctrinated to believe that their parents were wrong. This is exactly what happens at college. When parents send their kids to college, they're basically handing their children over to the new equivalent of Mao's Red Guard so that they can learn a set of values that is completely contrary to their parents and actually be encouraged to rebel and to become a dissident against their parents. So it's a very important truth that a society cannot continue to exist, a country cannot continue to exist, if parents are not the primary driver and the primary teachers of morality, of truth, of character, and of direction. Instead, we have turned to a group of bitter educators to all of a sudden be the ombudsman, be the communicators, and relay what it means to be a good person. What is a human being? That's a really good question. A human being is someone who can reason, someone who could speak. As Aristotle said, we are the speaking beings. It's someone with a rational faculty. It's someone who is able to have dialogue. Dialogue comes from the Greek word dia, which means through, log, logos, thinking, or reason, through reason. A school like Brearley, a school like Loyola, or a school like White Bear Lake High School, they do not want to have dialogue. They want to have submission. They want you to obey. And this is only going to change when the people in charge, the adults, they don't just complain about this privately. They take dramatic and decisive and public action. So Andrew Guttman, who wrote this letter, is being heralded by a hero, by Barry Weiss, by Maria Bartiromo, by Candace Owens, and by myself. He is now going to be attacked as a racist. But Andrew has courage, so he's willing to contest and do the right thing, regardless of the names and the insults that will be levied at him. He continues by saying, I object that Brearley is fostering a divisive community where families of different races, which until recently were part of the same community, are now segregated into two. A pretty basic thing. Segregation is bad. We had an entire civil rights movement about that. These are the reasons why we can no longer send our daughter to Brearley. Over the past several months, I have personally spoken to many Brearley parents as well as parents of children at peer institutions. It's abundantly clear that the majority of parents believe that Brearley's anti-racism policies are misguided, divisive, and counterproductive and cancerous. Many believe, as I do, that these policies will ultimately destroy what was until recently a wonderful educational institution. But as I'm sure it'll come as no surprise to you, given the insidious cancel culture that has of late permeated our society, most parents are too fearful to speak up. Bingo. Too fearful to speak up. Parents don't want to lose their job. They don't want to lose the connection to their law firm. They don't want to lose the connection to their corporation. But Andrew Guttman is leading the charge. So what is cancel culture? We talk about that a lot. Are you able to define it? I was reading something recently, and it was from a Soviet dissident and a Soviet defector. And she said this about the Soviet Union, which, by the way, the Soviet Union is the least understood totalitarian experiment from the American perspective. We do talk about the National Socialist Workers' Party a fair amount. We don't talk about the Soviet Union enough. She warns this, you will not be able to predict what will be held against you tomorrow. Quote, you have no idea what completely normal thing you will do today or say today will be used against you to destroy you. This is what people in the Soviet Union saw. We know how this works. Let me read that again. You will not be able to predict what will be held against you tomorrow. You have no idea what completely normal thing you will do or say today will be used against you to destroy you. This is what people in the Soviet Union saw. We know how this works. So what is cancel culture? It's the changing of the rules just to accommodate a goal of having power. That's what cancel culture is. Cancel culture is removing someone from a position of authority, a position of trust, a position of responsibility under this guise that I am a better person than you and I will always be a better person than you. So give me power so I can abolish your life. Not just abolish your life, but ruin your life and cause chaos in your life. But Andrew Guttman finishes this letter and he says, but parents, speak out, you must. There is strength in numbers, I assure you. The numbers are there. Contact the administration of the Board of Trustees and demand an end to the destructive and the anti-intellectual claptrap known as anti-racism. And if changes are not forthcoming, then demand new leadership. For the sake of our community, our city, our country, most of all our children, silence is no longer an option. Respectfully, Andrew Guttman. This has now made national news of one parent who has stood up to the mob at the Brearley School, of the people who are requiring parents to take anti-racism classes and courses, where in science class they are reenacting police shootings. I kid you not. That is what is happening. If every single parent who is hearing me say this right now wrote a letter like this and found courage, which is doing the right thing when you do not know how it's going to work out, the educational industrial complex who has been infected with wokeism would be challenged for good. Courageous people standing up is how this gets solved.
Do you know how much you need to save to have a comfortable retirement? The average retirement savings for families, according to one recent study, is $255,000. If you are using these averages as goals for your own retirement, let me be blunt. Even $1 million won't be enough by the time you retire because of inflation. Retirement is not one size fits all. How much should you save depends on what kind of lifestyle you want to pursue after retirement. But remember that inflation should be factored in. The $1 million you saved 40 years ago is worth then less than half of that now. So invest in assets that will store the value of your investment. That's key to diversifying your portfolio. And there's nothing better than gold. I'm a believer in gold. Did you know that if you invested $1 million in gold 40 years ago, you'd be sitting on over $50 million today? So think about it. If you put $1,000 in gold today, how much will that be worth when you have grandkids? That could afford any lifestyle you want. I know you've got questions, and Noble Gold is a trustworthy resource for answers. Contact a Noble Gold representative to learn more about making your saving a priority. If you didn't start early, that's okay. There's no time like today to get started and make sound financial decisions. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and call one of their experts, NobleGoldInvestments.com.
I love your questions. And in fact, here's a question right here from Fred from Ohio. He says, Charlie, do you have something to say about how the left pretends to be kind? Do you have something to say about how the left pretends to be loving? That's the essence of his email. I'm paraphrasing. It's a longer email. Yes. You see, the virtue signalers that have taken over our universities, that have taken over our grade schools, that have taken over our 3-, 4-, and 5-year-old education, they disguise themselves as being kind while destroying any sort of dissenting point of view. And they actually intentionally disfavor certain demographic groups just to protect the feelings of certain people that are victims. The people that are in charge of our country, the people with wealth, the people that have done well, there's an open question, which is how long are they going to tolerate this? I'm given hope right now by Andrew Gutman and what he's done at Brearley. What happened with our Turning Point USA student Avery at White Bear Lake High School, who had her life nearly destroyed and ruined, where she felt unsafe and she had to have security walk her to class under all the fake nonsense, a hoax. That gives me reason for concern. However, the way this is going to be fixed is when the ruling class's kids are really impacted by this. And that's what we're seeing. The reason why Andrew Gutman wrote this letter is not that kids in Ohio are being taught critical race theory or kids in Iowa. No, his daughter was being taught critical race theory. And unfortunately, just like communism coming to this country, when so many people have lived under Soviet communism or Cuban communism or Venezuelan communism or Argentinian communism, the Latin American communism, which I heard extensive testimony this last weekend at our Turning Point USA Young Latino Leadership Summit. Unfortunately, it's not going to become a reality to most people until it impacts what you love. You see, Americans, we deal in the abstract. We always have. It's not something that I would consider to be our greatest quality. We as Americans did not understand the gravity or the weight or the moral necessity to get involved in World War II until our own citizens were slaughtered by the Japanese. We did not understand the significance of getting involved in the most calculated, cold, and chilling execution of a people, the Holocaust, until our own borders were bombed. And Winston Churchill famously said to his war cabinet, as soon as Pearl Harbor was bombed, we have won the war. because the Americans have woken up. So the question is, when are the Americans going to wake up at this moment? This letter by Andrew Guttman goes to show that there's something changing. There's a movement against critical race theory and the woke industrial complex. He doesn't care if he gets called a racist because for him, the name calling, the pejoratives, the insults, all of those pale in comparison to his daughter not getting a good education. He's prioritizing that correctly. He doesn't hate himself and he doesn't have white guilt to the point where he's just going to take a knee into submission. He has enough courage to clearly and articulately get his words right, sit up with straight with his shoulders back, and say to the bullies running our country, this ends now, and if it doesn't end, at least I've given it my all. And that's what it's going to take. It's going to take normal people to challenge the Ministry of Truth, which of course is a reference to 1984. By the way, I encourage everyone to go reread 1984. I've been rereading 1984 and Brave New World, which are two dystopian novels, and I feel like I'm reading the daily news. In 1984 by George Orwell, there's a whole part dedicated just to people that rewrite history in the dystopian novel of 1984. But it's all part of the agenda. How could you possibly take over a country if you have a shared history? A shared history, a shared language and culture is necessary for the replication and the duplication of our values and the continuation of the United States of America, the greatest country ever to exist in the history of the world. Education comes from the Latin word to lead forth. Are we doing a good job of leading our young people forward? No, we've actually done a pretty poor job of it. But it's not too late to fix it. And Andrew Guttman and the successes at Loyola Academy and this young lady who's a hero, Avery Severson at White Bear Lake High School, they are leading indicators that when we stand up with courage, we will win. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. And if you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, go to tpusa.com. God bless you guys. Speak to you soon.